We are talking to Roger Bolton. Roger is the president of the Page Society, and you can read his bio on the website, all the amazing things he has done in the past and awards he has won. But specifically, he's being interviewed for this podcast because he's been meeting with corporate communication professionals from across the globe in his role with the Page Society, and he's been talking to them about challenges that they face. And today we're going to learn a little bit more about that. So first, I want to welcome Roger. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Denise. Sure. It's an honor to be with you. And I just want to acknowledge the great work that you do as the leader of the Page Center and your leadership more broadly in the profession on issues related to ethics.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Roger is a member of the board of the Page Center. And so it's great to have him here talking on this subject. So I'll go ahead and start. My first question is about the Page Society in general. Can you tell us a little bit about the work of the Page Society, not to be confused with the Page Center, and its global reach, the global reach of the Page Society?
Sure. So Page is a membership professional association for corporate chief communication officers, agency CEOs, and educators like you who teach communication at both communication schools and business schools. We're really all about the CCO, the chief communication officer. Our mission is to strengthen the enterprise leadership role of the CCO, and our purpose is to gather the world's best communicators to transform business for the better. Because we believe that when the CCO does her job really well, business is more likely to be responsible and responsive to multiple stakeholders and the like. Our strategy at Page is to do these things, first of all, by taking a specific point of view on the role of the CCO in the enterprise. And the work you just described that we're doing is our latest effort to do research, and we'll be having a report coming out in September on that. Secondly, to provide professional development opportunities and learning for our members and their teams around that content and that aspirational role of the CCO. And thirdly, to become a more global organization. We're based in the U.S. We're founded in the U.S. And we now have close to 800 members. But we've been on a mission over the last 6 or 8 years, I guess, now to become truly a global organization, and we've gone from about 7% of our membership being located outside the U.S. to closer to 17% with approaching 150 members from outside the U.S.
That's great. So it's certainly growing and expanding globally, internationally. So recently you've been traveling internationally to meet with communication leaders. What kind of ethical challenges are you hearing about in your conversations? In the U.S., communication professionals are struggling with disinformation and fake news and trying to fight their effects on organizations. Is this the case elsewhere?
It is. In fact, it's remarkable the extent to which this disinformation, fake news phenomenon is becoming a global issue. You may have heard about viral rumors about kidnappers spread through Facebook and WhatsApp, leading to lynching deaths in India, interference in the elections in Italy, and all kinds of things, frankly, all over the world. So this issue of the integrity of and quality of public communication is sort of front and center in many, many of the conversations we're having around the world, with people really, really concerned about what to do about that and how to fight it. We've been in conversation at Page about whether or not we should sort of perhaps partner with others, and maybe it's worth a conversation with you later, Denise, about Page Center's role in this, establishing a set of standards that we might suggest that communicators adhere to in terms of how they use technology in communication. And we've also been in conversation with some of our members who represent the major platforms, Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera, about their efforts to swim against a really overwhelming tide of fake darkness and misinformation that's being spread all around the world. I might say, if you don't mind, more basically, as we've talked to people around the world, there are concerns about ethics that are broader than just fake news. Mm-hmm. There are rising expectations of business to act responsibly or ethically coming from employees increasingly, but also from investors. The ESG investing or impact investing, if you will, is becoming more mainstreamed, and a lot of companies are feeling the pressure on that. There is pressure to create societal value through core business products and services, and even to advocate for human rights and justice, all of which leads to an opportunity for the chief communication officer to partner with the CEO and across the C-suite through efforts to define and implement a corporate brand that requires alignment of every stakeholder touch point with a set of principles that the company holds dear, which is kind of where ethics and integrity comes in, to define corporate values, again, an ethical matter, creating a culture that embodies those values and behaviors that are consistent and authentic, and to establish specific goals for societal value creation in alignment with the UN's sustainable development goals and other kinds of social value creation. Each of these, whether it's corporate brand, whether it's culture, whether it's societal value creation, involves creation of a code of moral values that must be adhered to, which goes to the heart of the definitions of ethics and integrity. So we see this need to think clearly about who we are and what we believe, to establish a set of moral values and to adhere to those consistently, which go to the heart of the disciplines of ethics and integrity, as being increasingly central to the need for CCOs to work across their enterprises to make sure that enterprises respond to these societal pressures.
That's interesting. So you're seeing, or corporations are seeing, the push coming from internal audiences, employees, and I guess external investors, although that to some degree is internal, it's within the organization, pressure to do this, to be more ethical and to disclose more, be more transparent. It's interesting what you were saying about advocating for causes. I think we're seeing some of that here in the US, but it sounds like you're seeing it to maybe a greater degree internationally.
Yeah, you know, we were very, very surprised a year ago as we began this journey. And one of our first stops was at the Middle East PR Association event in Abu Dhabi. And one of the most important things that they wanted us to talk about was this increasing pressure for companies to speak out on social issues. And you know, I think in the Middle East, perhaps they're not quite ready, as some American companies have been, and frankly, even Indian companies, interestingly enough, to speak out on LGBTQ kinds of issues. Hmm. But there is a very, very strong push in the UAE, in particular, for tolerance and diversity. In fact, this has been designated the Year of Tolerance by the UAE. And there is a strong desire to see companies taking a responsible role. Mubadala is the sovereign investment company that exists in the UAE and Abu Dhabi. And Brian Lott is a member of Page from Mubadala, and Umaima Abu Bakr, who runs internal communications for him, is also very vocal on these issues. And she said recently, the more we talk about tolerance and diversity, the more we grow as a company and a nation. So there is, in perhaps surprising places around the world, a lot of interest in companies not only sticking to their own knitting, but also becoming vocal in speaking out on social and societal and human rights kinds of issues in the societies where they live and work.
Right. That's interesting. So my next question, you kind of touched on this already, but I'll ask it anyway. In your conversations, have you noticed any unique challenges that multinational companies are facing? Is there a greater pressure to communicate with transparency, truthfulness, integrity in companies that work across borders?
Well, I think it's an imperative for every company, whether it's a domestic company or a multinational. But I think it's fair to say, Denise, that multinationals probably get more scrutiny from global NGOs. They have to comply with regulatory regimes and political pressures globally that differ from region to region, and they have to become adept at dealing with different kinds of political, socio-political, and economic pressures in different parts of the world. There are, as I think we're all increasingly acutely aware, populist backlashes against globalization and multinational companies and multinational regimes, if you will, or standards. I'm trying to refer to the multinational organizations like the UN and IMF, et cetera. There are a lot of pushback and pressures against globalization around the world, and companies are having to really respond to desires for people, appropriately in some cases, obviously, to have locally grown food, to save both environment and money on, you know, global shipping and all kinds of issues that are causing companies to kind of rethink their roles in a global society as regulatory regimes and consumer and other kinds of political pressures change. The technology platforms in Europe are experiencing political pressure on antitrust and privacy laws that is much, much stronger than what they have experienced to date in the United States. In part because they're U.S.-based companies to a significant degree, but also because I think in Europe some of the sensitivities around these issues are a little bit more advanced. Obviously, that's coming on rapidly, and they're certainly facing a lot of backlash in the U.S. now as well. Mm-hmm. The extractive or infrastructure industries have for a long time been kind of needing to think about the impact on the communities where they create large infrastructure projects or extract oil or other kinds of minerals, permission to operate kinds of concerns. So I think the question goes to the heart of something that's true, and that multinationals certainly have more scrutiny and more issues to deal with on a global basis, but at its core and at its heart, every company or every institution for that matter should feel a responsibility to be transparent, to be truthful, and to, as we've said, adopt a set of values and principles that they adhere to with integrity in order to gain permission to operate, to have a brand that's trusted by their own employees and by consumers, and to pass regulatory scrutiny, whether it's local or global.
That's good. So my last question for you is, what advice do you have for new professionals who are starting to think more about their ethical responsibility in the workplace?
I think it's really, really important to have your own set of values that are yours, that you've thought about, probably that you were raised with to a significant degree, and that you refuse to compromise. There are things that no institution should ask any of us to do. To lie, for example. The first page principle is to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy. I mean, sometimes there's groupthink going on in an organization, and a willingness to kind of ignore obvious facts and present things as being true that aren't fully true. And the pressure to go along with that can be intense. But we each have a responsibility to stand up against that and to adhere to our own personal set of values and beliefs and not to compromise them. Now, that's not to say that there won't be instances where, you know, lines are crossed, but if you find yourself in an organization where your values are just incompatible with either the stated values or more likely the kind of actual practice of the way things are done in that organization, you've got a responsibility, in my opinion, to number one, speak up to try to change it. And to the extent that that's possible and you can make progress and you feel that you're making a difference, then, you know, that's worthwhile. To change an institution to make it more ethical is worthy thing to do. But if you are swimming upstream against an organization that's just not going to change, I think the only sort of honorable thing to do is to leave. I also think that young people, in addition to kind of what are my values and beliefs and what do I stand for in terms of ethical conduct, also ought to be thinking about, why am I on this planet? You know, when I look back after my work career, what do I want to say? How is the world going to be better than it was when I started? What's my purpose? What do I believe in terms of making the world better? And how am I going to use my life and my work life in particular to make the world better? I talk to young people all the time, many of whom are very, very optimistic and idealistic, and they want to work in NGOs or other kinds of nonprofits, and I say more power to them. My daughter's one of those, and she's very, very happily working in a women's rights organization, and I'm proud of her for that. But I tell many people that they ought to look for opportunities to work in the for-profit sector as well, because business has a huge opportunity to change the world for the better. The business model, the for-profit model, has a huge value, which is that it's self-sustaining. You create value. In return for that, you receive compensation that allows you to create even more value. Whereas NGOs have to beg for money, governments have to tax to get money, businesses create value for which money is offered willingly. And if you can help create or change an existing organization into one that is more ethical, that is more focused on creating positive social value, that is done in a sustainable way, the power to change the world is truly immense. And so I encourage young people, when they're starting out, to think about, what are your values? What's your purpose? What are you good at? What do you like to do? What do you do well? And what kind of organization do you want to work for? And bring all those things together into, this is me. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to stand for. And I'm not going to compromise until I get a chance to do that.
Well, that's a good note to end on. Very inspirational. So thank you for that. It's interesting to hear about the communication pressures around the globe and the importance of making good ethical decisions in all different cultures and different countries. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being part of the podcast series. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Denise.